This podcast is sponsored by Hercules Strong Guard Tires. Visit HerculesTiresCommercial.com to learn more.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley, but he has the morning off. So it's just me and you, and it is going to be an interesting day. Interesting day in Congress, wasn't it? Let's hear just a couple of quick audio cuts here.
Because what we're seeing at the border is an absolute travesty. And yet, my colleagues on the other side of the aisle are going to do nothing, literally nothing about that today, even as we see people spilling across the border who are clearly testing positive for COVID. We have a hotel in La Jolla, Texas, that is literally filled right now with individuals who are heavily testing positive for COVID. These are the facts on the ground. And I know my friend, the speaker, knows how bad it is at the border, knows how bad it is in Laredo, knows how bad it is in Del Rio, knows how bad it is in McAllen. I've got a text here from a sheriff in a small Texas town saying, "We're passing an emergency declaration tonight at City Council that no illegal immigrants can be released in the city of Uvalde per the CDC guidelines of countries on their list without a negative COVID test, and we have had our health authority write orders that give us the authority to have them government, border patrol, and immigrant quarantine for 10 to 14 days. We have a crisis at our border, and we're playing footsie with mask mandates in the people's house."
That's Representative Chip Roy. We'll hear more from him coming up a little bit later on. And then on international developments on China, this was really interesting. Ted Cruz yesterday talking to representatives of the Biden administration from the Department of Justice, FBI, cybersecurity, infrastructure, and Infrastructure Security Agency and the Secret Service, and simply asked this question and got zero response.
And let me ask anyone on the panel, do you have an answer as to why the administration has not sanctioned China for repeated cyber attacks over and over and over again against the United States?
Crickets.
Well, I think that's a question that
Wow. What a day it was. We got a great show ahead. Bipartisan agreement on the Trojan horse infrastructure bill. Sinema comes out against, that senator, comes out against reconciliation. Masked fights. Pelosi says Biden cannot cancel Americans' student loans. That was really interesting. Where in the world did that come from? Biden says he drove an 18-wheeler. Nobody can find any evidence of it. They said he rode in a truck one time. And then they said, well, riding in a truck isn't the same as driving one. And they said, well, he drove a school bus once. And they had to explain, well, a school bus isn't an 18-wheeler. That was interesting. Every time he speaks. And that wasn't the only thing. He mixed up Trump's name with Obama and then blamed Trump for the recession of 2008-2009. Wow. Unions say that they will fight the vaccine mandates. How wrong are the Fed economists? And a whole bunch more, plus your calls and comments. Welcome. Thanks for being here this morning. My day, every day now, every single day, my day is basically get up, lawn work, show prep, go to sleep, come to work. Go to sleep, wake up, lawn work, eat in between. One big cycle. It just keeps going on and on and on. How's everybody doing, huh? How was your day? Was your day okay? Huh? Slept? Now you're working, doing whatever. Good to have you aboard. 866-90-RED-EYE if you want to get in. You know, Eric isn't here, so I need somebody to talk to. So if you want to get in, we would love to hear from you. So here we go. We talked a little bit about it, you know, mask mandates and, you know, you've got, we'll have more audio coming up from what was going on in Congress yesterday. One of the things that we've been talking about now with mask mandates coming back across the country, and part of the discussion that I saw yesterday on social media and in a number of variety of publications is, did we learn anything? Did we learn anything from everything we've gone through with COVID? And the answer would be no if we're going back to massive mask mandates. What should we have done from the very beginning with all of this? Take politics out of it just for a second. Look at it strictly as a medical issue, just for a moment here. As a medical issue, if we would have done it correctly with COVID, what would have been the right thing to do? What should we have focused in on? We should have focused in on the most vulnerable, right? Holman Jenkins wrote a great column in the Wall Street Journal. The columnist from the Wall Street Journal yesterday and talked about a ton of different things. Yesterday, we talked about the lack of credibility from the government across the board. He brings that up. He brings up that the CDC quietly has said that at least 88 million people have been exposed, they believe, to COVID. But the official number is 34 million. That's the official number. And so he says there's a lack of understanding from the American public. He said the CDC should have always promoted the fact that more people actually were getting it, that they should have projected out, because one of the things is nobody knows what the truth is anymore. There's so many different things coming from the government that are false. And the big thing that we're dealing with right now is the fact that they want to shut down some want to shut down the entire country, but most want mass mandates. You're hearing social distancing come back again. And is that the solution? And the point is that even the other variants spread a lot quicker and went through a lot more Americans than the government is willing to admit. And so the question is, why? Is it so people will wear masks? Now, we know the mitigating effect. We've talked about this before. Taking politics out of it, do masks work? Well, masks don't keep you from not getting the virus. We know that without question. Does it mitigate it to a particular percentage? Yeah, it probably does. If you sneeze, physics, as we have said, God, for 15, 16 months now, it's pretty obvious with the physics. If you sneeze or if you cough, you've got a barrier in between. It slows down the inertia of the air coming out. And if there's water droplets, saliva droplets in there that's carrying the virus, they won't go as far. Duh. It's no big deal. Is it 100% effective? No. I remember the conversation that I had with Independent Bob when he was going crazy, my buddy Independent Bob, stating, people are like, it's either 100% or it's 0%. It's not. I mean, yeah, we understand that. We dealt with that. We dealt with that, too, on the show and criticized that, yeah, does it have some kind of mitigating effect? Yes. But overall, this is a virus that is extremely deadly to whom? As we said on yesterday's show, has the CDC changed anything? Are people under 40 or under 50 years of age that are healthy and have no underlying conditions, are they at massive risk? Are they at a risk of getting seriously sick or dying more than the flu? I haven't seen that. And from what we've been told from the very beginning from the CDC, it has very little effect if you don't have an underlying condition. The vast majority, overwhelming majority of people that have gotten seriously sick from COVID, overwhelmingly, are obese, elderly, sickly, an underlying condition. And probably the vast mass majority, elderly with an underlying condition. That's why I was, when I was able to be one of the first in line to get it, I got it. I fit the age group, and I fit with type 2 diabetes. I fit that underlying condition. Am I healthy? Yeah. If I got it, might it have affected me as somebody who had an underlying condition and was obese? Probably not. But when you look at overall what we should have done from the very beginning, and this goes back to the Holman Jenkins article in the Wall Street Journal that I was reading yesterday, first off, is the credibility. Nobody believes the government. Number two, risk factor. People look at the risk factor. When they're told you're under 40 and it's less than the flu, when you're told that year, month after month, year after year, most people at that particular age are not going to get the shot. But is that the critical point that we should have been looking at from the very beginning? Should we have been looking at those people that are healthy? Should the concern be, as we see now, the utmost concern for kids in school? Well, actually not, because it's extremely rare that kids are affected by it. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Some of the articles that have been written on that just today, our focus should have been completely on those that are elderly, obese, and have underlying conditions. And as in his column, he was talking about, he goes, like one Connecticut nursing home, all the people that work there, they put them in temporary housing. So they would not be infected, so they didn't infect the elderly. That's why I said take the politics out of it, because you might have had people object to being told that they can't live at home. But if you're talking about the healthcare system during a pandemic, there are certain things that hospitals, nursing homes could have done with the help from the federal government. Should it have been to shut down the entire society, or should we have focused on those that are most vulnerable? Now, I don't believe that anything that I have said in the, and if I'm wrong, I would admit it in 2 seconds if somebody brought me information that was verified. But I don't know anything that I've said that is incorrect. As to the statistics, as who COVID has affected the most, where it is extremely dangerous, what demographic. Our entire focus, or let's put it this way, 95% of our focus should have been on that. If we're talking about where our focus should be today, should the focus be on everybody? Or should the focus be on that 10% of the most vulnerable people who have not gotten a shot? Now, that's still 6 million people. And so you could still have a number of deaths because of that. I don't know what they say. I remember early on, and this goes back months and months and months ago, I haven't seen an updated figure, that where COVID really is dangerous is when it comes to, again, people that are elderly and underlying condition. But it could be anywhere between, I think I saw numbers of 10, 15, 20%, but way beneath 1% for anybody who was young. So obviously we knew where to focus our resources, but we didn't do it. In fact, we had the governor of New York who actually made it worse by allowing elderly people that had COVID back into nursing homes. And he was heralded as a leader that we should be following. But there's so many different things here that we see now. And I think one of the biggest things is people look at this right now, as Chip Roy was saying, as we said yesterday, as we said all this entire week. You've got an administration letting thousands of people into this country that have the Delta variant, because that's the most prominent Delta variant right now. They're letting thousands of people in by their border policy, and the Democrats are completely quiet about it, yet they're back on the thing that everybody needs to be masked, whether you're vaccinated or not. Even though we know that 99% of the people out there, and I haven't seen anybody dispute that on the right or left, that are in hospitals or are dying right now, over 99%, are unvaccinated. So, yeah, we can sit and talk about this as we have for the last year and a half, but I don't think anything on the ground has changed. The Delta variant is no more deadly than the other ones. It's simply more transmissible. That's it. And so what do we do? Do we focus, and does the left wish to shut down society again? Should we close down companies again? Or should we focus on what we should have focused on from the very, very beginning with the United States of America, with the resources we have, on the people that are the most vulnerable? And maybe another thing, trying to tell the truth. We got a great show ahead. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Eric has the morning off. It's you and me. Just reading here from, I'd mentioned Holman Jenkins' column yesterday in the Wall Street Journal. He said, if you're a vaccinated person going about your business in most respects, it is not your job to compensate for others' unwillingness to be vaccinated. If you're attending on a vulnerable person, wear a mask, because children under 12 are not eligible for the vaccine and are at extremely low risk of COVID, their caregivers should be vaccinated. The Delta variant has collided with our lousy monitoring system based on voluntary testing to tell us how many have gotten COVID. Delta is clearly spreading among the fully vaccinated, but we have no idea how extensively, because people with mild or asymptomatic cases are unlikely to seek testing. Still, the implications are not small. Vaccine passports are an idea whose time may have come and gone. If the fully vaccinated are capable of spreading the virus, vaccinating the low-risk population, however desirable, won't deliver us from COVID. If it turns out vaccination doesn't stop transmission along with stopping serious illness, and that's why I've said the focus, as it should have been from the beginning, should have been where? Those that are most vulnerable, which are the elderly and those with underlying conditions and those people who are obese. He said, to their credit, writers from the New York Magazine, The Atlantic, and The New York Times have noticed that risk perception, not politics, we talked about this late last week, is a true vaccine hesitancy variable. It's not whether you voted for Trump, because as we said before, that's the media has been pounding on that, the politics of that. But when it was actually broken down, and there was actually research that was done where they broke it down and they said it's not politics. It's risk perception. If people believe that their risk is low, they're less likely to get the vaccine. Duh. He said, in part of the media, though, the vaccine hesitancy panic remains part and parcel of the miscalculation that has bedeviled us from day one. Should we try to control everybody's exposure or focus on those most at risk? He said, the CDC quietly estimated the U.S. alone has 88 million infections by last December, yet the current total count by the supposedly reputable COVID trackers is just 34 million. No wonder many Americans are confused and fatalistic, believing COVID is rare, more random, but more fatal than it actually is, depending on who you talk to. So, yeah, really interesting stuff that he wrote there. We'll get some of your calls and comments. And we'll hear from Chip Roy on the floor of the House yesterday, just blasting the Democrats. That and more coming up. It's time for your national forecast.
Got heavy thunderstorms this morning moving through the Wisconsin-Minnesota border area, right along I-90 and I-43 north and south. Things will stay south of Green Bay and mainly north of Chicago as the system moves across Lake Michigan towards Detroit. Timing for the system moving into the Motor City will be heaviest just before morning rush hour. From northeastern Minnesota into southwestern lower Michigan, look for significant wind damage as a result of heavy thunderstorms. Very hot to excessive heat covers much of the central third of the country and is expected to persist into the weekend over the south central states. That'll include eastern Texas, northward to southern Nebraska, over to Indiana, and southward to Florida. Portions of Washington, Oregon, and Idaho will be in the triple digits. Flash flooding in the desert southwest, a result of monsoonal flow into the southern Rockies. The national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Hey. Bringing people together, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Eric has the morning off. It's you and me. Let's go right to Texas Republican Representative Chip Roy yesterday on the announcement that Congress needs to wear masks, which set him off, saying, this is what you're doing? People are, by the thousands, are crossing the border, maybe with COVID. And we know that the government is allowing people with COVID into the country. And you're worried about the symbolic act of us wearing masks in the chamber, and you're doing nothing about it? That's why we said yesterday and the day before, and I believe the day before that, and probably the day before that, this administration does not care about Americans getting and dying from COVID. This is an administration that says you cannot come in to this country even if you can prove you have been vaccinated. Yet on the southern border, everybody, come on, you've been invited. And when did that order go into effect? During the worst peak of COVID in January of this year with the new administration. Here is Representative Chip Roy.
Because what we're seeing at the border is an absolute travesty. And yet my colleagues on the other side of the aisle are going to do nothing, literally nothing about that today, even as we see people spilling across the border who are clearly testing positive for COVID. We have a hotel in La Jolla, Texas, that is literally filled right now with individuals who are heavily testing positive for COVID. These are the facts on the ground. And I know my friend, the speaker, knows how bad it is at the border, knows how bad it is in Laredo, knows how bad it is in Del Rio, knows how bad it is in McAllen. I've got a text here from a sheriff in a small Texas town saying, we're passing an emergency declaration tonight at City Council that no illegal immigrants can be released in the city of Uvalde per the CDC guidelines of countries on their list without a negative COVID test. And we have had our health authority write orders that give us the authority to have them government, Border Patrol, and immigrants quarantine for 10 to 14 days. We have a crisis at our border, and we're playing footsie with mask mandates in the people's house. I mean, it's absolutely absurd what this body is doing, the people's house. It's an embarrassment. It's a mockery. And the American people are fed up. They want to go back to life. They want to go back to business. They want to go back to school without their children being forced to wear masks, to be put in the corner, to have mental health issues. And we're running around here, and the speaker comes down here at 10 o'clock in the morning saying, we got to wear masks in the people's house while we've got thousands of people pouring across our border, and Democrats don't do a darn thing about it, heavily infected with COVID. We have the New York Times, okay, today. What a mess. CDC about to reverse on indoor masking for the vaccinated, quote unquote. This is some serious nanny state stuff that will only breed resentment. No kidding. Consider resentment being magnified right here on the floor of the House of Representatives. We are absolutely sick and tired of it, and so are the American people. This sham of an institution is doing nothing for the American people. Nothing for the betterment of the people that send their representatives here. I just met this morning with an organization that tries to take care of people from human trafficking. Met with an elected official from Mexico while cartels are raping and pillaging and killing. And we have people infected with COVID coming across our southern border into Texas. And you all put masks up front here on the people's house. We got to go around and see, okay, we can't come to the floor. I can't execute my constitutional duty unless I wear a mask. Well, which is it, vaccines or masks? Do the vaccines work or they don't work? Do the masks work or they don't work? I'd like to know which it is. I'd like Dr. Fauci to come down and...
There you go. Sorry, we had some problems there, but you get the gist of it. National Review. Begin with one simple fact. The Delta variant of COVID-19 is more contagious than the original virus, but it is not more dangerous or likely to kill you. Very important to understand that. If you are vaccinated and you are exposed to it, you may get infected. This infection is likely to be mild. Occasionally, vaccinated people get sick. And by the way, we know that because of the efficacy rate of it, and they're trying to figure out what the efficacy rate is. I've seen, I think for the Pfizer, they said it could be like 85%, I think, for that. The infection is likely to be mild. Occasionally, vaccinated people get sick. These symptoms are usually mild, manageable, and pass within a day or two. The first case of the Delta variant, previously referred to as the Indian variant, in the U.S., was diagnosed at the end of March. Our active COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths have declined since that date, although the daily number of new cases has increased dramatically in recent weeks. This is what we would expect to see from a variant that is more contagious but equally virulent. As the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention keep emphasizing, about 99% of current hospitalizations are among the unvaccinated. Fewer than 1,200 of the more than 107,000 COVID-19 hospitalizations in May were vaccinated individuals. If you are vaccinated, the virus can't do you much harm, even if it's the Delta variant. But if you are unvaccinated, the risk of serious health issues is what it was at the start of 2020. A minor risk if you're young and healthy, and a significantly higher risk if you are elderly or have other health issues, for example, with your immune system. But you're more likely to encounter Delta than other variants these days because it spreads so easily and quickly. The problem for the CDC in the country is not the 163.3 million Americans who are fully vaccinated, and there's a good chance that the 25.6 million or so Americans with their first shot will get around to getting their second shot. The problem is the nearly 80 million American adults who are eligible to get vaccinated and who haven't. Despite what a lot of news coverage would suggest, this demographic is not overwhelmingly or even largely MAGA cap-wearing rural Trump voters. Lots of unvaccinated Americans live in America's biggest and most heavily Democratic cities, and 40% of the New York City Department of Education employees remain unvaccinated. The CDC has decided that because of the risk to the unvaccinated, everyone, including the fully vaccinated, should mask up once again to stop the spread. Just like that, we're back to 2020, with Americans fighting over whether they need to wear one indoors, outdoors, and in schools, and policing each other when the masks slide under their noses. All to protect people who have been eligible to get vaccinated since mid-April, and who in most cases have deliberately chosen not to get the shot. We've seen a big push to get teenagers to get vaccinated, but when school starts in the fall, vaccination status won't make any difference, as the CDC now recommends universal indoor masking for all teachers, staff, students, and visitors to schools, regardless of vaccination status. Yet there are some Americans who can't get vaccinated yet, most notably children under 12. Thankfully, children in this age group are at minimal risk of serious health issues from COVID-19. Yes, children who are infected should be kept at home, treated, and monitored for those exceptionally rare cases of multi-system inflammatory syndrome. But most children's encounters with COVID-19 will pass like a case of the sniffles. At the time when the CDC wants to emphasize the benefits of getting vaccinated, the agency is declaring that the same rules apply to the vaccinated and unvaccinated alike. There is little evidence that reinstating mask mandates will spur reluctant Americans to go get vaccinated. There is a good chance it will backfire as more and more of the public concludes that CDC guidelines can turn on a dime and contradict past statements. That's from National Review, their lead editorial today. And I would say one of the biggest things, I've got friends and that have not got vaccinated, and it seems like, because of all this, they've doubled down on it. And of course, they have gone right to the fact that the government is, putting restrictions on American citizens and allowing illegal immigrants by the thousands to come across the border who have COVID because of the policies of the Biden administration. And so their whole point is, we don't believe anything the government says, because if the government truly cared about COVID and their goal was to stop COVID, they would have equal orders on every single border. Canada would be just like Mexico would be just like Canada. Nobody comes across, vaccinated or not. In fact, it's the opposite on the southern border. So, sorry, people don't believe a damn thing the government says. And then we go through Fauci and his evading, as we've gone through this over and over again. But as we find out, as finally you've got even those in the liberal media stating, okay, when we've done the research, we found out it's really not politics, it's risk assessment. And so even the National View talking about the problem is the 80 million people that haven't got vaccinated. The real problem is the 10%, because I don't have the figure on it, but I don't think anybody disagrees with this or the numbers that have changed. The people that are most at risk are the ones who are elderly with underlying conditions and obese. That's the problem. That's who you should be focusing everything on, or at least 95% of our efforts as a country, but that's not what we do. It's not why, I can't tell you, but it's not what we do. We don't do what is needed to be done from the very beginning, and to get into a bizarre world when someone like the governor of New York actually puts out an order to put people with COVID back in nursing homes. He is celebrated as the kind of leader that we need during COVID by the Democrats. And when you look at it, because I think risk assessment is probably why most people have not gotten it, but that's not all. You had the Democrats early on telling their constituents, don't trust any vaccine that comes from the Trump administration. You had Harris say it, you had Biden say it, and you had Cuomo stating it. Cuomo, even when the vaccine came out with 95% efficacy, said he doesn't trust any of it, and his own health department would have to go through all the numbers because he doesn't trust anything that comes from the Trump administration. The guy who put sick elderly people with COVID back into nursing homes. So that's what we're dealing with. When you have a government that consistently lies to the American people, why are you surprised when the American people don't respond to what you tell them to do? Or a significant portion does. More of your calls and comments coming up if you would like to get in. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has the morning off. It's you and me. We'll get to your calls and comments coming up following the top of the hour. You know, just when we talk about how, you know, government communicates with us, here's one thing that Eric and I have always wondered from the very beginning. How come, like right now, you've got the CDC telling you, you know, you've got them promoting the fact that hospitalizations are going up and deaths are going up. Why don't they focus on who's being hospitalized? They do when it comes to vaccinated versus unvaccinated, but why not the age? Why not the condition? tell people what the underlying conditions are, what the age group is. You focus on that. If you're going to communicate effectively, that's what you do. Instead of saying and focusing on getting young people vaccinated, you should focus in on the people that are the most vulnerable, correct? That's where the majority of your efforts should be, those people that will get seriously ill. So why isn't that information, why hasn't that from the very beginning been pounded and saying, these are the people that are hospitalized, this is the age demographic, this is the underlying condition demographic, these are the people that really, in the real world, the people that are being hospitalized and dying, here's what they have on a daily basis, like they do the numbers. Why do we just get the numbers of the cases when most are not serious, instead of focusing in on the most vulnerable, the serious cases, and the fatalities?
This hour's news is brought to you by Travel Centers of America, home of World Lens Coffee, the freshest roast on the road.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Hi. Eric has the morning off, so it's you and me. RedEyeRadioShow.com is where we stream live, or you can get our app, and or you can get our app, put it on your phone, and you can listen when you wish to. Well, a bipartisan group of senators said yesterday that they've reached a deal on the details of the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, known as the Trojan Horse Bill. Salvaging a blueprint brokered by President Biden last month is how they write this in the New York Post. Really? The breakthrough came despite fears of spending spurring inflation and Republican unease about a possible second infrastructure bill that the Democrats want to ram through using special budget rules. Senator Rob Portman, the deal's chief GOP negotiator, said that as of late last night and really early this morning, we now have an agreement on the major issues. Portman met with Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell to inform him of the final details, though former President Donald Trump blasted out a call for Republicans to oppose the terrible deal. We are prepared to move forward, Portman said, who spent Tuesday evening with White House counselor Stephen Ricchetti ironing out the kinks. A fact sheet released by the White House said the bill includes $550 billion in new spending and would be the largest federal investment in public transit ever and the largest federal investment in passenger rail since the creation of Amtrak. What idiots. The fact sheet does not explain in detail how the bill would be financed. Oh, really? Surprise, surprise, surprise. Meanwhile, a key Democrat said Wednesday she will not support a proposed $3.5 trillion spending plan. Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona said in a statement, "The Democrat, I support many of the goals of this proposal to continue creating jobs, growing American competitiveness, and expanding economic opportunities for the people of Arizona. I do not support a bill that costs $3.5 trillion. The announcement means Democrats will likely need to reduce the scope of the legislation to secure the support of Sinema and her fellow moderates, Senator Joe Manchin. I don't know. Do they? Again, this is from the New York Post. Manchin seems like he's aboard. With the Senate split 50-50, Democrats cannot afford to have a single member of their conference defect if they want to pass a so-called reconciliation bill with just 51 votes. The $3.5 trillion plan, backed by Bernie Sanders, would have called for a massive infusion of cash for education initiatives like universal pre-kindergarten, Medicare expansion, efforts to counter the effects of climate change, and more. Now, AOC lashed out of cinema over her announcement on Wednesday, saying, good luck tanking your own party's investment on child care, climate action, and infrastructure while presuming you'll survive a three-vote House margin, especially after choosing to exclude members of color from negotiations and calling that a bipartisan accomplishment. So there you go. Hey, did you see Susan Sarandon was outside of AOC's? See that story? Susan Sarandon outside of AOC's office yesterday protesting. Where's Medicare for All? Saying that AOC and the squad have not done their job properly. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said after the test vote that he still planned to shepherd both pieces of the legislation through the chamber before the August recess, due to begin on August 9th. It might take some long nights. We might eat into our weekends, but we're going to get the job done, Schumer said. We've already given our, you know, I won't spend a lot of time in it today because we have in the past about the idiot Republicans that are, you know, getting involved in this. I have no idea why. Don't know why. I can't tell you why. I wish I could. It doesn't make any sense. They call it the Trojan horse bill because it's the bill that gets you the reconciliation bill. And Sinema and Manchin, as we've said before, may come out as tough, but I wouldn't be surprised if it became a $3.3 trillion plan, which really spends $5 trillion and not $5.2 trillion. Oh, okay, now I'm willing to pass that. Do not be deceived by the Democrats who, in their own particular state, whether it's a Manchin or a Sinema, will tell you we're against the initial bill and then the second or third bill, which is spending almost just as much, therefore. So they can sell it to the foolish independents or Republicans that might still vote for them in their state, or moderate Democrats, if they even exist, by pretending that they are fiscal conservatives. Don't buy it. Manchin lied the first time about a couple of bills, spending bills earlier this year. So I don't believe a thing that they say. And if I'm wrong, and the reconciliation bill cannot pass in any form, I will gladly tell you I was wrong about them. This was weird, though, yesterday. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi disputed the notion that Biden has the authority to unilaterally cancel student federal loans. People think that the President of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone. He can delay. He does not have that power. That has to be an act of Congress. Pelosi said the subject to be taken up by Congress as a matter of policy. She also said she doesn't think all Americans would be on board for forgiving the debt. Suppose your child at this time does not want to go to college, but you're paying taxes to forgive someone else's obligation. You may not be happy about that. Is that what they're finding out? Seriously, is that what they're finding out when they do the research? When they do the polling? That Americans look at that and view that and say, well, wait a minute. What you're asking then is the people that don't go to college and the families that don't go to college and the people that haven't gone to college to pay for those other people to go to college. Why is that fair? Did the focus group research come out? Because there's no reason for Nancy Pelosi to say that. There's none, except the demographic research comes out and says, uh-uh, Democrats don't even want it. No. To be paying off $50,000 in debt? No, you took it. You pay for it. It's pretty simple. Americans look at that and say, you took out the debt. You pay for it. Especially Americans who haven't got that kind of debt. Or Americans who decided, I can't afford to go to that college, so I'm going to go to a community college. Americans that have said, no, I had to live within my budget. Why don't you have to live within yours? Why do then I have to pay for what you want in higher education? I can almost guarantee that's what's coming back. They're seeing the polling numbers. It's the same thing as defund the police, the same thing as critical race theory. The fact they see the polling numbers coming back, they're not winning the battle on it, and so they have to reverse it in some way. The moratorium on student loans ends on September 30th, and Democratic legislators are urging Biden to extend it to March 31st of next year. Even though, remember, the COVID recession ended in April of 2020. Meanwhile, public employee unions in New York are pushing back against newly announced dictates requiring workers to get vaccinated for COVID-19 or submit to regular testing for the virus. De Blasio announced Monday that public employees in New York City need to be fully vaccinated by mid-September, or they would be required to get tested for coronavirus on a weekly basis. Officials note that it is not a mandate because employees have a choice, but some employees and unions say the measure goes too far and stamps on workers' rights. De Blasio, a Democrat, like we would be confused, announced Monday that public employees of the Big Apple need to be fully vaccinated by mid-September, or, again, they would have to take the weekly test. Fire department union blasted the mayor's decision following the news, saying his union, which represents the city's 4,300 EMS workers, took them by surprise but with the move. Really? The city and mayor cannot simply disregard the civil liberties of the workforce. The unions are really, really aggravated that the mayor sprung this on everybody, said the Sanitation Workers Union. On Wednesday, Cuomo announced there would be a requirement for vaccination or testing for public employees at the state level, too. So now the pushback is coming from the government unions that, of course, we know are Trump supporters. Coming up on the bottom of the hour, we will get some audio from Kevin McCarthy yesterday. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy also talking about the mask mandates and more. It simply goes back to this, and I will repeat it over and over again. Democrats can't win this as long as Biden keeps the southern border open and thousands, possibly thousands or tens of thousands of people are coming into this country with COVID and the Delta variant. They can't win this. Can't win it. And by putting the mask mandate on and promoting the mask mandates again, while at the same time not saying anything, and the Democrats completely quiet, except the Democrats that are around the border, about it, shows they don't care. They claim they care about Americans getting COVID and Americans dying of COVID. If they cared, they would speak up about the crisis at the southern border that was caused by the actions of Democrats. Specifically, the President of the United States and his invitation to illegal immigrants to cross the border. And then during the peak of the COVID spike in January, putting through executive orders which allowed more illegal immigrants into this country and many illegal immigrants that have COVID. They don't care about Americans dying of COVID. Otherwise, Biden would reverse the ruling. And Democrats would be furious. If they're really that passionate about the mask mandate, to the point where they say you're selfish and you don't care, and how dare you be so selfish, and they say nothing about what's going on the border, the southern border, right now. Not only are they hypocrites, but by their standard, they are selfish and they are killing Americans by their standard. And by the way, by any standard, too, because if the Delta variant is coming in from the southern border, which it is because it's the most prevalent variant, Americans are dying because of it. If you want to get in, we do have a line open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on defensive driving, understanding your weight. The weight of your vehicle can be your friend, but it can also be your enemy. Weight is friendly when road conditions are slick and you're trying to get up to speed. This is called traction weight, and it can help you get up to speed without slipping or sliding. However, your truck weight can also be hazardous on slick roads. The same weight that helps you get going makes it harder to come to a complete stop. The more weight you have, the higher the braking distance. Compensate for the increased braking distance by keeping room between your truck and the vehicle in front of you. Knowing the weight of your freight will help keep you and everyone around you safe. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This report is brought to you by National Truck Protection and Premium 2000 Plus, the number one selling aftermarket truck warranties in North America. Available at thousands of used truck dealers everywhere.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Eric has the morning off, so it is you and me today. Just reading here from the from Jim Garrity in National Review. U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Biden administration make a critical error by recommending vaccinated Americans put on masks again, sorting through who still is not vaccinated and why. The Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, although vaccines afford very high protection, infection with the Delta and other variants remains possible. Well, of course it does, because of the efficacy rate, but not probable. Fortunately, vaccination among those who acquire infections appears to prevent serious illness, hospitalization, and death. If you're vaccinated, the Delta variant can conceivably make you sick, but you're extremely unlikely to have complications serious enough to require hospitalization or be life-threatening. By the way, none of this has changed from the very, very beginning. For the vaccinated, the Delta variant is a potential inconvenience. For the unvaccinated, it has the potential to be a menace. And then they go through the three groups of unvaccinated people. Number one are our kids. Number two are those that have serious allergies to one of the ingredients. That's, they say, 1.31 people in 1 million doses given. That's what they have found. So for every million doses given, 1.31 people giving the doses has an allergy. And the other ones are, the third group is by far the most attention, are those who, this is from Jim Garrity, National Review, are those who choose not to get a vaccine that is free, proven to be effective, recommended by almost every doctor in America, and that's available at just every drugstore. The first vaccination started in mid-December. All American adults became eligible for a COVID-19 vaccine on April 19th. Teenagers eligible on May 10th. Whether or not the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and the Biden administration want to admit it, by recommending that all Americans, including the vaccinated ones, go back to wearing masks in public places, they're asking the vaccinated to make another sacrifice to protect the unvaccinated, and many in that group are those who have chosen not to get vaccinated. If you see getting vaccinated as a responsible choice, the responsible are being asked to alter their behavior to protect the irresponsible. Let's keep that in mind. Those who currently refuse to get vaccinated, and those who refuse to wear masks in the past, and those who will continue to refuse to wear masks would not quite be a complete circle, but there would be considerable overlap. A lot of vaccinated Americans are going to ignore this new edict, and it's hard to blame them. And then they go through all the different mask mandates that have been put out there over the next 6 months and saying, look, Americans are confused. Americans are being told one thing one time, another thing another time. And it just gets to the point where people just get frustrated and say, what the hell's going on? Nobody's telling us the truth. We're not getting it straight from anybody. Fauci is lying. Biden is lying. Look, when they sit there and you look at the White House, they talked about the White House now, everybody's going to wear masks. They go in the White House, everybody has been vaccinated. Everyone. So who are you protecting? And if that's the standard now, then we have to wear masks for every single flu season. Is that where we want to go as a nation? Because that's where we're headed.
Pacifists by Nature, Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has the morning off, you and me. But see, being a pessimist by nature is actually good. Because when anything at all happens, you're happy about it. See, that's the key to a happy life. Be a pessimist. Then if the sun comes up in the morning, you're like, oh, cool. Sun's up. You know, I expected it to be cloudy and rainy. This is great. Sun's up. All right. As we know, the mask mandates back in many states, CDC recommending it again. As I mentioned right before we went to the bottom of the hour break, Biden administration in the White House, everybody's wearing masks. Everybody's been vaccinated. You don't work in the White House unless you've been vaccinated. Everybody's been vaccinated, and they're wearing masks. Why? Well, because there's a slight chance of you getting it. Well, then we need to mask up for the flu. If I'm wrong on any of this, please let me know. I had someone write to me yesterday and had the wrong premise of what I was saying. I was simply saying that exactly what I said there, that the person had the premise wrong. The premise is if we are putting masks back on, if our focus is not on those that are truly vulnerable, as it should have been from the beginning, and those that are, and that's people that are elderly, have an underlying condition, and are obese. That's why I believe that each and every day, not just the numbers of people, but the demographics of people, how old they are, it should have been constantly pounded from the very, very beginning that here are the numbers out there and the media should have reported it. It's the elderly. It's the obese. It's those with underlying conditions that are elderly and obese that are by far the number of people are the ones that that have problems. By far. If you're under 40 and healthy, from what I still know, I've never seen a change in this, your chances of being seriously sick or dying from COVID is less than the flu. So there's a ton of people in that age group that haven't got it. Why? Risk assessment. Democrats tried to tell you over the last couple of weeks, and the media was pounding the fact, oh, it's Trump supporters, Trump supporters, Trump supporters. Trump got his vaccine. Trump promoted the daylight, said he was the one that got the vaccine fast-tracked. So it wasn't about that. And as a researcher was found, as we brought to you last week, research was being done. And finally, the liberal media came out this week and said, well, okay, it seems like the majority of it is risk assessment. And the other part is that you've clearly seen, and we brought this to you, was the Democrats, who are the actual leaders? Because Trump never told you not to get the vaccine. Who was it who told you not to get the vaccine? Who told you not to trust the Trump administration? Because they would rush it through, which they did not. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Andrew Cuomo. And Cuomo's important because he was viewed by the Democrats as the savior. That's the kind, in 2020, that's the kind of leader that we need. He wrote a book on leadership. He was adored. This is the guy that needs to be president. He's a guy that can pull the nation through the COVID crisis. He put sick people that had COVID in nursing homes and is responsible for hundreds that order, hundreds, possibly thousands of deaths. And he was deified as a great leader. So the politics of the vaccination, of not taking it, the actual politics of it, came from the leaders of the Democratic Party. It didn't come from Trump. Well, he's not out there promoting it every day. Doesn't have to. He got it. It's like people say, oh, what's your view on the vaccine? I got it. That should say enough. I got it. Eric got it. What else do you need to know? Well, do you trust it? I got the vaccine. Did you do research on it? I got the vaccine. Well, do you understand that there are risks? I got a ton of vaccines. Yes, I understand the risks. I understand all the risks of all the vaccines that I take. I understand the risks of the prescriptions that I'm on. I understand the risks of the sickness of type 2 diabetes that I have. Yeah, I don't need to promote it and tell you every single day, you need to get it. Because you don't care what I think. You do your own risk assessment. And so that's what a ton of people have done. But the politics of this, the leaders of the political party that told you specifically not to trust the vaccine were the leaders, the current leaders of the Democratic Party. So there you go. Let's get to, I want to play some. This is from Kevin McCarthy yesterday, the House Minority Leader, on the House mask mandate.
Mr. Speaker, earlier today, the Speaker of the House said that people who are fully vaccinated but don't support wearing a mask are morons. She went on to say that the House should follow the science. Madam Speaker, you don't know the facts nor the science, so let's talk about it. The Speaker is referring to the CDC current recommendation. I just left speaking with Dr. Monahan from the House. He said he used the CDC recommendation on a report that hasn't been printed yet. He did not know that the report is based upon India about a...
Okay, problems again with it here. He said, I left speaking with Dr. Monahan from the House. He said he used a CDC recommendation on a report that hasn't been printed yet, referencing the attending physician's decision to recommend congressional members and staff wear well-fitted super masks while inside if other individuals are present. He did not know that the report is based upon India about a vaccine that's not approved in America, and now he did not know that it didn't even pass peer review. That's why vaccinated people in this House now have to wear a mask. There is no science, but I guess the Speaker must have not known that. Why would the Speaker know the facts? Do you know what frustrates Americans most? Hypocrisy. He noted how officials have jumped all over the map, first telling Americans not to wear masks, only advise them to do so, at one point recommending double masking, then telling them it was safe to take off the mask if they are vaccinated. Americans were told, he said, that they would get their lives back if they got vaccinated. But what they hate about hypocrisy is when you break your own rules, it's kind of like telling America that you can't get your own haircut, but you get caught on camera because you do it, referencing Pelosi's infamous salon getaway last year as others remain locked down and restricted. McCarthy said he witnessed Pelosi breaking her own rules twice yesterday alone as she stood in a crowded room without a mask covering her face less than 24 hours after imposing the mandate, which is based on a study in India based on a vaccine that is not approved in America that did not pass peer review. Could this be a plan to try to keep our schools closed? And worst of all, this administration and now this House has broken the country's trust. One size fits all, he added. Indeed, the CDC scientific brief, updated July 27th, admits the study which used vaccines not authorized in the United States was used. Here is from the actual study, from the CDC scientific brief. A study from Houston, Texas observed, this is from Breitbart, they're the ones that did the reporting on this. A study from Houston, Texas observed that Delta caused a significantly higher rate of breakthrough infections in fully vaccinated people compared with infections from other variants, but noted that only 6.5% of all COVID-19 cases occurred in fully vaccinated individuals. Studies from India with vaccines not authorized for use in the United States have noted relatively high viral loads and larger cluster sizes associated with infections with Delta, regardless of vaccination status. These early data suggest that breakthrough Delta infections are transmissible. Unpublished data are consistent with this, and additional data collection and studies are underway to understand the level and duration of the transmissibility of the Delta vaccine, breakthrough infections in the United States, and other settings. So there you go. And I don't have all the specific details on it, and they don't give you all the specific details on it, you know, precisely the efficacy of the India vaccines and, you know, the fact that they weren't, the studies themselves, not peer-reviewed. But it wouldn't be surprising from what we have dealt with over the last 15 months, would it? No. If you want to get in, we do have a line open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Hi, Sharon, you there?
I hear you.
Welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Thanks. Yeah, I was just calling in regards to the vaccine and some people saying that people that refuse to get it or don't. It's not that I'm not getting the vaccine. I'm not refusing. I do not trust it. And I don't really see enough evidence for me to even get it. So
how old are you?
I am a Trump supporter, but I'm not, you know, it's not a political thing with me.
I guess my question is, and I don't, maybe I just got too personal. Are you old enough? Are you my age, and do you have an underlying condition?
I'm 54 years old. I do not have any underlying.
Okay, your risk would be less than mine.
Right.
Why don't you trust it?
Well, there's one thing, the point that you're making, there's so many misinformation, lies, misleading from the CDC to the WHO to the politicians to the, I mean, too many lies are out there,
well,
about it, number one.
Yeah, I understand that, but the information I got had nothing to do with the government, wasn't filtered through the government. All the information I got on the vaccine came through my doctor based on the pharmaceutical company's testing of it. That's where mine came from. And then I got my doctor to explain it to me and extremely comfortable with it, just like millions of Americans get tons of other vaccines where they have no idea what the effect may be on them.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't get the flu shot either. I've never had the flu shot. I'm just, I don't really, it's not that I'm an anti-vaxxer. My kids, when they were young, got vaccines, and I've had vaccines in the past, but like as far as like flu shots and I'm not getting a COVID shot. I don't get the shingles shot. I just don't get them. And maybe like later on, and like if I come up down with some health issues or something like that, I might reconsider or talk to my doctor about it.
Yeah.
But it's I feel like trying to pit people against people. Oh, you're not vaccinated. You're making us, you know, have to wear the mask. And it's another, they're using it divisively. The politicians are. They're using it divisively among the American people, once again, politicizing it and using it divisively,
well,
you know, pitting people against people with it.
Well, I'll agree with you. We're just running out of time, but I would agree with you on that, because, you know, right now, and whether it was the Wall Street Journal article that I read or National Review, the same thing, because what you're dealing with now is the people that the reason that everybody has to wear a mask, they won't say it this way, is to protect the unvaccinated, the people that chose not to get it. The vast majority of people in America that we are protecting chose not to get the vaccine. So the people that got the vaccine have to be inconvenienced and put their masks on to protect the people that chose through free will not to get the vaccine. We should not be doing that as a nation.
I'm not a mask wearer. I've gotten the COVID. I got over the COVID. And it also, there's doctors that say that if you've been vaccinated, you shouldn't get the vaccine, because you can cause problems with your immune system.
I've not heard that. 866-90-RED-EYE.
This. This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. RedEyeRadioShow.com is where we stream live. Get our app, put it on your phone, and listen when you wish to. I'm just dying laughing over the investigation into whether Biden ever drove a truck. Did you hear about this one?
Yeah.
He raised eyebrows where he was out yesterday. Was it a Mack truck company? And said he had, here it is, the RNC fact checks Biden on driving 18-wheeler. Every day it's something with him. The Republican National Committee circulated a fact check on Twitter of whether President Joe Biden drove an 18-wheeler after a speech on manufacturing to a Mack truck facility in Pennsylvania. Tweeted the RNC's Zach Parkinson, there is zero evidence that Biden used to drive an 18-wheeler. The extent of Biden's trucking experience is that he rode in a truck once, one night in 1973, but he returned by plane. Although he does not appear on camera, a local news channel picked up audio Biden telling workers on Wednesday, I used to drive an 18-wheeler. Man, I got to. Biden was elected to the Senate at age 29. Well, I'm not going to say anything. I just came to drive a truck, Biden said to audience laughter. And I'm not sure which one I want to drive, that one There's one back in the corner. You can't see. It's the biggest damn pickup truck you'll ever, you ever saw in your life. Biden has faced criticism for embellishing biographical details for years, including misstatements about his academic credentials that helped bring about the end of his 1988 campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination. I did see, apparently the White House said he had driven a school bus at one time. Fox Facts, check it. Fact checked it, excuse me. The majority of school buses on average have two axles, with the bigger models having two wheels on the front axle and four wheels on the dual axle for a total of six wheels, which is not 18 wheels. Fox News pressed again about the president's claim, pointing out that a school bus is not the same as an 18-wheeler truck. Oh, what a zoo. every day it's something. And this is a danger for the Biden administration, of course, as we've stated before, because it all becomes part of popular culture. On the whole mask mandate, which we're back in again here, and the mask guidance coming from the federal government when it came to putting masks back on in the House, we had played earlier a Representative Chip Roy from Texas, who brought up what we brought up, that they don't care. Democrats don't care about COVID. They don't care about whether it spreads to Americans because of the crisis at the southern border, which was created by the number one Democrat in this country, who was Joe Biden. It wouldn't be happening. We would not have people crossing the border to the extent that we are, that have COVID, if they weren't invited in. And then if the president had not dropped and reversed the executive orders of Trump, would not be happening. Everybody knows it's happening. You've got, you know, even Democrat representatives on the border of Canada furious because even vaccinated Canadians cannot come into the United States right now. They have continued Trump's xenophobic I had to say it. They have continued their xenophobic travel restrictions, except if you have COVID and wish to come in illegally on the southern border. Here is Kevin McCarthy yesterday talking, House Minority Leader, talking about the hypocrisy after Nancy Pelosi called him a moron.
Because I remember a short time ago when we had the mask mandate during one of the impeachments the Democrats brought up. The managers wore their mask here, but as they walked to the Senate, they were able to take them off. I'm not quite sure of how much of COVID lives on this side of the building. That must be science. That must be what the speaker was talking about. The past administration worked hard for Operation Warp Speed. I'm proud of the fact of what we voted for. When we brought bills up on this floor that talked about working towards a vaccine, that's where the money went. Not the trillions of dollars of wasted that now gave us inflation. Americans want to get back to work, back to school, and back to health. But we now have a majority that doesn't want to base anything on science. They want to base something on a report that's not printed, that can't pass peer review, based upon a country of India, that based upon a vaccine that's not even approved in America. Because the facts and the science of the vaccines in America work. They're effective. They're free. I got a vaccine in December. I recommend all Americans get a vaccine. It's a concern we all have. We go every day trying to get more people vaccinated. What do you think the message is today? Well, those who run this side of this building believe now if you're vaccinated, you have to wear a mask, even though the science doesn't say you should. I'm not sure how many more people are going to rush to get vaccinated. But it's just like their philosophy. They want a mandate. They want to impose. They want to tell you when you can go to school, when you can eat. You know what they're going to do? If you walk into this building without a mask, they're going to charge you $500. Why? Because they got the power to do it. You walk across the hall, not quite sure where they morph into a different science. You don't have to. Mark my words, this is just the beginning. In a few weeks, schools are supposed to open again. We know what the science says about COVID with children. I think you're going to start seeing new reports. They won't be printed, but they'll try to keep the schools closed. Maybe if I whisper, the president will listen. He tries it. Then they'll try to shut our businesses down one more time. Operation Warp Speed provided vaccines that were tested, that work, that are effective. The study, the science, prove it so. The hospitalization rates proves it so. I don't know of one person in this chamber that's going to get struck by lightning today. But I do know, even though the odds are better you get struck by lightning than being hospitalized if you're vaccinated, we're all going to have to wear a mask or we have to pay $500. I don't know. The gentleman over there is going to run for the Senate. Maybe he wants to do that so he doesn't have to wear a mask. The science over there is better.
Oh, my God. Run for the Senate. You don't have to wear a mask if you run for the Senate. All right. I like that. Yeah, just like I said, it's... It's where we are right now. The interesting thing is as we go into this again, started the show by saying this. Are we doing what we're doing, which is focusing on the people that are most vulnerable? No. It has to apply to everybody. We're not focusing on those. We never have as a nation focused on the actual disease and the people that are most vulnerable and put all of our efforts in that particular area. We've spent so much time shutting down all business, putting mandates on all people when it was never needed for all people. Very, very serious disease for a specific demographic. Very serious virus. That's where we should have put it, but we don't do that. And again, I will repeat this over and over again. And before the show ends, we'll play Representative Chip Roy again, because it's so important to understand this and say it bluntly. The Democrats do not care if Americans die of COVID. I'll say it again. The Democrats do not care if Americans die of COVID. Otherwise, they would be outraged as to what's happening at the southern border. Every Democrat listening right now knows that. Every single Democrat knows that they'd rather be involved in the show, as you're seeing with the mask mandates in the House, at the White House where everybody has been vaccinated. They'd rather put on a show for you than stop thousands of illegal immigrants coming into this country, possibly thousands, possibly tens of thousands of people coming into this country because of the president's executive order and Democrats for years inviting illegal immigrants to cross the border illegally. And of course, just like any population, a significant number of them, thousands, possibly tens of thousands, bringing the Delta variant into this country. They don't care if Americans die of the Delta variant. Otherwise, there would be an uprising against what is going on at the border, and not one Democrat except Democrats on the border that represent border cities that are actually being affected by this, not one is speaking out passionately against it or talking about the hypocrisy of their own party. If you want to get in, we do have a line open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This is the Marketplace Minute. I'm Mitchell Hartman. A mixed day on Wall Street, with the major indexes trading below record highs they hit on Monday. The Dow edged down more than 0.3%, the NASDAQ rose 0.7%, and the S&P 500 barely budged. The Federal Reserve finished a two-day meeting with no change on interest rates. The Fed said employment and economic activity continue to strengthen. Fed Chair Jerome Powell acknowledged inflation could end up being higher and more persistent than the Fed is expecting. More vaccine mandates and incentives. New York will require all state workers to be vaccinated or get a weekly COVID test by Labor Day. And New York City is offering $100 gift cards to people who get their first vaccine at a city clinic. And Boeing turned its first quarterly profit in more than a year as it delivered more 737 MAX jets. The planes were grounded in 2019 after two deadly crashes. I'm Mitchell Hartman with the Marketplace Minute.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. This from the other night. The St. Louis County Council in Missouri has voted to end the county's mask mandate just a day after it took effect and prompted the state's Republican attorney general to sue to try to stop it. The council voted 5-2 Tuesday to reverse the order and rebuke the St. Louis Council executive for not consulting the council before issuing it. The mandate required everyone age 5 or older to wear masks in indoor public places and on public transportation in St. Louis City and St. Louis County, even if they are vaccinated. It was issued as Missouri has seen a surge in coronavirus hospitalizations. Even as the St. Louis County Council voted to reverse the region's mask mandate, the Kansas City Mayor, Quentin Lucas, announced Tuesday evening that he would reinstate an indoor mask mandate. Missouri Governor Mike Parson in June enacted a new law limiting the duration of local public health restrictions and barring governments from requiring proof of COVID-19 vaccination to use public facilities and transportation. Although the law does not specifically mention masks, it allows the governing body of any city or county to terminate a public health order issued for the purpose of preventing the spread of a contagious disease. The governing body can do it at any time by a majority vote. So, yeah, I mean, you're seeing it in places like that. It'll be interesting to see what happens over the next week, how people respond to this this time. It really will. If people have finally sat there and said, meh, you know, okay, we've had enough. You're not following the science. And the fact is the focus should be on those that are most vulnerable, as it should have been from the beginning, as we talked about earlier. Focus should have been, and we said this back in April of 2020, the focus, it seems to be, should be on the elderly and those that are obese, those with underlying conditions. Because we've known that from early on. That really hasn't changed. None of that has changed. From what we know, the Delta variant is no more deadly than any other variant. It simply is more contagious. That's it. And if you look at how fast this thing has spread, it does look like that. And where did I read it? I forgot where I read it here in the last week. Someone saying, look, eventually everybody will be exposed or get the virus. If this thing is just, you know, going around the world, that's what it's going to do. Now, you may not be affected by it, but you'll be exposed to it. And most likely, if you don't have the vaccine, you'll most likely, you know, you'll get it. And even if you have the vaccine, there's a chance, because of the efficacy rates that we've talked about before, of you getting it, but just a very, very mild form of it. So it will be interesting to see how the public responds to this over the next couple of weeks. It is time for your national forecast.
Got heavy thunderstorms this morning moving through the Wisconsin-Minnesota border area, right along I-90 and I-43 north and south. Things will stay south of Green Bay and mainly north of Chicago as the system moves across Lake Michigan towards Detroit. Timing for the system moving into the Motor City will be heaviest just before morning rush hour. From northeastern Minnesota into southwestern lower Michigan, look for significant wind damage as a result of heavy thunderstorms. Very hot to excessive heat covers much of the central third of the country and is expected to persist into the weekend over the south central states. That'll include eastern Texas, northward to southern Nebraska, over to Indiana, and southward to Florida. Portions of Washington, Oregon, and Idaho will be in the triple digits. Flash flooding in the desert southwest, a result of monsoonal flow into the southern Rockies. The national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Your forecast is brought to you by Low Viscosity Kendall Super DFE. With increased protection and fuel savings, low viscosity leads to victory. Kendall Motor Oil, you get out what you put in.
They aren't the monsters you think they are. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. He has the morning off. I'm Gary McNamara, and I'm here, 866-90-RED-EYE, if you would like to get in. Here's Ted Cruz yesterday speaking about the CDC and their new mask recommendations.
Chairman, Senator Shaheen impugned my integrity, and she claimed falsely that I was somehow suggesting vaccines are not effective. That was an absolute falsehood. Whether it was deliberate or not, I won't speculate. But it is precisely the opposite of what I was saying and have been saying. Vaccines are effective. I've been vaccinated. My wife has been vaccinated. My parents have been vaccinated. My wife's parents have been vaccinated. I've been urging Americans to get vaccinated. But I also believe in individual liberty. I believe in freedom. It's your damn choice whether you get vaccinated. I think it made sense for me in consultation with my doctor, but you have the ability to make your choice. And the irony is, it is the Biden administration that is doing what Senator Shaheen accused me of doing. When they put out, the CDC puts out this rule, even if you've been vaccinated, you got to put a mask on. It is the Biden administration that are telling people vaccines don't work. I actually understand vaccines do work, which is why that is an arbitrary rule to require people who have been vaccinated to put a mask on. And by the way, we see the Kabuki Theater here. Everyone here has been vaccinated. As soon as the CDC said that, we saw Democrats putting on masks. Not because the vaccine suddenly stopped working yesterday, but it was working 2 days ago. Nope, because now it is a virtue signal of submissiveness to wear a mask. I would note, none of the Democrats who spoke said one word about my point of the arbitrary demand that everyone in a school wear masks, even though kids have not gotten, by and large, seriously ill or been a provable vector for spreading this disease in significant amounts. This was done because the teachers' unions, the union bosses demanded it politically. But Senator Shaheen also said that our constituents deserve clarity. I agree with that. She described how happy and eager she was when schools required kids to get vaccinated. And you're right, there are vaccine requirements. There are different diseases, and each state can determine what is required concerning vaccines. So in the interest of clarity, I would just ask Senator Shaheen, do you believe there should be a vaccine mandate for COVID-19? And do you believe the government should issue or participate in a vaccine passport? I answer those unequivocally no. And I would ask Senator Shaheen to have the same transparency. Do you support a vaccine mandate for COVID-19? Do you support a vaccine passport?
Interesting day yesterday as, you know, they were unloading the political rhetoric. Nancy Pelosi calling Kevin McCarthy a moron yesterday. Kevin McCarthy bringing up the fact of, well, wait a minute. We didn't wear masks yesterday. Why are we wearing masks today? Ted Cruz talking about the fact that we've all been vaccinated. Why weren't we wearing masks yesterday? Has the science actually changed on, the change drastically for people that have been vaccinated? No. So we've got now into this entire debate. Do vaccines work or do they not work? And Republicans making the accusation to Democrats that you don't believe the science because we were wearing masks yesterday. The White House, everybody has been vaccinated. Why are they wearing masks? Virtue signaling. There's no reason to do that. The other thing is that, and we've talked about this before, and I said this really early on, that if we start going back, and this probably was June, and it was probably a couple of months after everybody had the ability to get a vaccine, and it said, look, I agree. It's your choice to do what you wish to do with it. You consult with your doctor, and you make the best decision. You make the best medical decision. That is the advice that we have always given. I'm not going to tell you what to do because I don't know your particular situation. You know my situation. You know my beliefs. You know I got it. It's about all you need to know. And because that explains everything. Well, do you believe they work? No, but I got it anyway. No, of course I believe they work. And I believe the empirical evidence shows that they have worked. The empirical evidence based on what we have seen with this virus. But it's a personal choice. But I said this way back when. If the government comes to me and says, the people, because of the people that have chosen not to get it, and they've had the ability to get it, if they choose and make that choice that they have the right to make, they choose not to get it, should the government limit what I can do because others have not done what the government believes is the right thing? Or in a free society, should those people, like all of us, have to live with the consequences of their action or inaction? Because if you go to the point that we've got here, then we're back to where we said we might be, which is, and this is, I think, a question that we should ask, because this is where we're at right now. Should we wear masks all the time? Because of flu season, from now on. And that's a question more to Democrats than it is to Republicans. If you're a Democrat, do you believe that we should wear masks from now on? We have 90% of the vulnerable in this country that have received at least one shot, 80% two shots. If we have a focus, it should be on those people that have underlying conditions and are elderly and who are obese. For the rest of the population, for those under 40, without any underlying condition, your chance of serious illness or death is lower than the flu. Since we have had so many in the most vulnerable demographic that have been vaccinated, and we're back, the Democrats are slowly moving back now to mandating it, the next question should be, because we're not going to have the spike that we had before. What I see Jim Cramer say, 100 million people could be sick. Did you hear about this? Cramer on CNBC. What a nut. There is no evidence. There is no empirical evidence that this variant is any more deadly than the other variants. So if you get it, and that's why I have disagreed with the way that they have counted these things, because it's a they count basically by people that voluntarily get a test. That's no way. And as was pointed out in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, that by last December, the CDC quietly believed that at least 88 million people had it. But the official number is 34. But that was last December. I don't know what they predicted is now with all that time that has gone by. Do they believe it's 150 million? So there's two things you get out of it. If you're using the 34 million to make the analysis of what the death rate is, the death rate will be viewed as higher. But you also send out the opinion that if only 34 million people have gotten it, that, wow, what are the chances of me getting it? Because that's 10% of the population. Over that period of time, I'm not going to get it. So by not putting out the right information, people behave because of it. So, here's where we are. Right back to where it seemed we were back in March of 2020. But the fact is, we're not in the same place. Because we know a lot more, and we are certain who are the most vulnerable out there. So our focus should have always been on the most vulnerable. Not everybody. Well, we need to treat everybody the same. Everybody isn't affected the same way. Did we need to shut down society? No, we did not. But we did. And we're heading back in that same direction again. Will we get there? I don't know. I don't know what Democrats will do next. But the cherry on top of it, and if you're still waking up, and I know we've repeated this probably, oh, I don't know, a dozen times over the last couple of days, the most important thing here about the Democrat response is that they haven't said anything about the possibly thousands or tens of thousands of illegal immigrants crossing the southern border because of the policy that only Democrats, the President of the United States, instituted during the peak month of COVID last January to give them an incentive to cross the border. So they have. Which shows you the true feelings of Democrats, because none are in an uproar. They're going crazy. If you're vaccinated and won't wear a mask, but nothing about the crisis, the COVID crisis at the southern border that they created. Nothing. So any argument that they try to throw at you, well, you haven't got vaccinated, that shows you're selfish. Excuse me? You're the ones that agree to allow tens of thousands, and if this Delta, think about this, we talked about this yesterday, if this Delta variant is so incredibly more transmissible, and you have 10,000 illegal immigrants that have come into this country, either through the process of being released under the refugee status, or have come in illegally, and we don't have any idea where they are, and they've spread throughout cities in the United States. Could that be a major factor in the Delta variant spread? Absolutely. But what are they fearful of? People coming into this country that are already vaccinated, they need to be kept out, because that's the message that they're sending. It is pure like everything else the Democrats are proposing on the major issues. That is an insane opinion to hold. And that's their opinion. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
If you would like to get in, we'll get your calls and comments coming up following the top of the hour here. Just having a little bit of phone problems, but we'll get them settled here. We've got some people on the line. In fact, tried to go to somebody and couldn't get to them, and so just wanted to quickly say that talked about children being masked. Roger was calling, wanted to know about children being masked. And the carbon dioxide input, yes, we have talked about that on the show before. We brought you this probably about a month ago that talked about children and the carbon dioxide levels that are over the recommended amounts. Now, it was a limited study that was done on them, but it was a study that concluded that children wearing masks, it was way over the recommended of carbon dioxide that they would actually breathe back in because they couldn't expel it it all. The other thing is there was a study that I believe came out early July, and it was looking at children in Great Britain, and it showed that 99.995, I believe it is, percent of children that got COVID survived. 99.995. And that's why we have stated if children now need to be fully masked in schools, do you believe since, and we did these statistics, I believe either earlier this week or late last week, we went through the flu statistics of children. The flu kills more children than COVID. So I asked the question earlier to Democrats, because by the standard that we are now using for fully masking children in schools, and if I'm wrong on this data, please someone let me know, but I don't believe I'm wrong on any of this data whatsoever. But by the standard that we are, the guidance of the CDC right now, it would mean that all children must wear masks all the time because of the flu.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.